And now, the news.
Previously on Podcrapular.
Is Golf Widow there?
Yeah. Is Andy there?
Yeah, this is Andy. Oh, you want to go to the prom?
With you?
No. No. No.
Your husband, who is now resentful of the fact that you told him 2 years ago that chestnuts are worth the expense.
All right, so now I've got to go back in here.
I don't care what I said. I don't remember what I said. Roger Clemens rules.
Which is one of the reasons that I wanted a producer who knew what he was doing as opposed to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it was good, it wouldn't be Podcrapular.
Well, there was a lot of in and out, and not the kind I normally like.
You know, I couldn't be more thrilled for you. Honestly, I couldn't. It's not quite meeting all of those people at one time.
I kept noticing that a lot of my conversation would suddenly get, like, very echoey, reverby.
You know what we should have done? That thing that you used to do with your calculator, where you flip it over and it says boobless or whatever. That would have worked out well.
But I was just curious to know if maybe it was just me. Maybe I'm the only one who heard this.
Exciting, not so much.
Oh my God, it's fantastic.
I didn't cook it. I had a local restaurant cook it for me just because I didn't want to burn my house down.
Initially, I was going to use a flavor injector and get that in the bird, but the whole seeds wouldn't fit through the injector needle.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Cool too. You should take yours on. Oh man, I want to be awesome.
It was almost like two teenagers like trying to get away with having sex, you know, and it lasted like 10-15 minutes and then we just quickly got out of there before anybody saw us.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, I would love to make a ham and just glaze it with that.
You're gonna have to lose some weight, bitch, because I cannot see the Weather Channel.
Since we're talking about how crappy our show is, how have you been liking the last two installments of Podcrapular Light? I think that's actually a pretty good idea. It's been working out nicely.
I feel pretty proud of myself.
Wow, I thought she was like my age. She's an old Jewish grandmother.
For the very first time ever, we sound just alike.
Lint?
It's our Lint anniversary.
Mashed potatoes, Lint, and mustard. And in that time, oh, how our show has grown.
But it's only temporary.
It's not quite the same as you've seen one, you've seen them all. No, you see one, I want to see them all. I want to be able to just walk up to anyone and go, haven't seen you yet, let me see.
First and foremost is I haven't had an erection in 7 years. Second of all, somehow I wear the incredibly expensive cologne called Female Repellent.
Fun will now commence.
You're listening to Podcrapular.
Did you see the memo about this?
Podcrapular.
I hope you have a change of underwear.
Because, you know, you probably have nothing better to do with your time.
That would seem logical.
Podcrapular.
How many times do we have to tell you?
Starring Golf Widow.
Oh my God, I think I just peed a little.
I think we had a bad influence on her.
And Andy Martello.
I'm the entertainer that knows when the show's over.
I have a sense of humor.
And various porn stars.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Yes, I said porn stars.
That's cool.
My shit's bigger than his.
Tastes like chicken.
It's all good and fun until someone gets their eye poked up.
Yeah. Ready to go, dude? Yeah!
Podcrapular.
a smelling rose in her hair.
Well, you sound a little bit bummed out. Well, how could you be bummed out with all that Louie Louie goodness?
Well, I know, but it's, you know, two things. First, I mean, we have to suffer through the fact that the day we're recording this, Ike Turner died.
Yeah, you know, who would have thought? I thought he was too mean to die.
Yeah, you can't kill a man born to hang. So I guess nobody killed him. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, Ike Turner died just today. As we're, you know, pretty much as we were recording, he heard we were going to play the Ike and Tina Turner version of Louie Louie and just said, "That's it, I'm out of here, I gotta go." But actually, I'm just more upset because my computer has been fucking up to the point where recording this podcast is almost impossible. So I'm upset. I'm upset that I can't bring the funny.
I'm sorry. I am upset about that as well.
We're
actually, you know, first of all, Ike died yesterday. I'm sorry you didn't get the news in Vegas until now, but...
Oh, well, you know, we just opened up, what do you call it, a news browser. April checks, like, entertainment news every day, and that's what she did. She went, oh, no, because we were wondering who would be the next dead celebrity, because this was such an odd grouping of dead celebrities we had going on here, you know, with, like, Evel Knievel and...
Kevin Dubrow died.
Oh, that's right. Kevin Dubrow. That's right. I don't have a Quiet Riot version of Louie Louie, but yeah, Kevin Dubrow died here in Vegas. Evel Knievel died, famous for jumping over, well, sort of jumping over the fountains in Vegas. Ike Turner.
Yeah, the thing about Ike Turner, and I guess that's why you missed this, is that you're on the other coast. Now, over here, we have the New York Post. So there was no, I mean, even if you missed yesterday that he had died yesterday, everybody knew it this morning when they saw the headline on the New York Post, which said, and I quote, "Ike Turner beats Tina Turner to death."
It did not. You're totally making that up.
No, I am not making that up. And the the funny part was my friend Liz. Hi, Liz. Called me up and told me about it. And I said, "Oh, they can't have put that. Nobody's got that kind of cojones." And she's like, "Somebody does.
It's the New York Post, for God's sake. Jesus Christ. They threw taste out the window years ago." You know what? Pretty much when the Weekly World News closed its doors earlier this year, the New York Post said, "Finally, we can really let our hair down." Holy crap, that's amazing. Oh, good Lord. You know what? I'm pissed I didn't think of it. I should have thought of that myself. God damn it, I suck.
I know, I was sitting there going, you know, I love them and I hate me.
Now I want that on a t-shirt. That's awesome. I want a t-shirt of the entire front page of the New York Post. I want to wear that everywhere I go. That is absolutely fantastic. Well, see, there, that cheered me up. You put me in a better mood already.
See, I aim to please. I don't always have good aim, but I aim to please.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. The only time you have to worry, what's the thing that you always, the sign you hang in bathrooms in your house? We aim to please.
You aim to. Please.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, yes, Ike Turner, you know, arguably, many people can argue this, that he was responsible, but, you know, many people believe he was responsible for the first real rock and roll song.
I agree.
Was, what was it? What was it called? Rocket 69? Rocket 89?
Uh-huh.
Rocket.
It was the first one ever to use, like, that distorted kind of electric guitar thing.
Yes. Oh, pardon me. I just made a big bubbling noise because I'm drinking beer mourning the loss of Ike Turner, and then I plan on taking the empty bottle and beating a woman with it. No, I don't. That's terrible. Poor Ike. So anyway, let's get back to his musical accomplishments. I've heard a few, you know, there's always discussion over what was the first rock and, you know, rock and roll record, but that could very well be one of them if it was, well, it's definitely one of them if it wasn't the first.
I've also heard... Yeah, he did a lot for the music industry. There's just no way around that.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you know, let's if you take the marriage of Ike and Tina, like the actual what went on during the marriage, which you know, I have no reason to doubt that it all happened. I mean, I'm sure it all did. Why would Tina lie about such a thing? That being said, you take all that out, you can't deny the dude belongs, you know, kind of on the Mount Rushmore of you know, rock and roll innovators. He really does. I mean, good Lord, you listen to this, just any of the two. Of course, not really listening to that version of Louie Louie they did. Easily one of my, you know, kind of like most forgettable versions of Louie Louie, except I do think it's one of the first versions of Louie Louie where the song lyrics actually were kind of dirty. So that's good. You listen to Tina sing it, and you're like, well, she's talking about fucking some dude. Ew. Oh, God. Oh, no wonder I beat her.
Dude, you're
still married him. You're still married to him. Don't be stepping out on Ike. Come on. But anyway, you take away all of that nonsense, and you got yourself, you know, Ike Turner. He did some shit, man. Good record production, good sound. What the hell? So, yes, farewell to Ike Turner.
He made Tina Turner into a star. She had star quality already, but he made her see it in herself. And
oh, yeah,
I don't
absolutely
think she could ever fault him for that.
Well, it was a musical marriage that needed to happen because, you know, without them there would be no latter-day Tina Turner for certain, and there'd be a lot of songs that never happened. I mean, one of my all-time favorite songs, even though they went back and re-recorded it, even though it was... The hit was the Phil Spector-produced version of River Deep, Mountain High, which easily...
That is a piece of genius production right there.
Oh, yeah. And that's all... Of course, that's all Phil Spector's doing there. But, you know, later, Ike and Tina did a version of that same song, and it's like, damn, you know what? Even Ike knows what... The man knew what he was doing. You know, like I said, let's... It's difficult because, you know, once you've been tagged a wife beater, aside from the fact that you're going to get nothing but jokes from comedians, and people will just always reference it, people also tend to forget that he did do other things that were significant. And
he was very bitchy about that and bitter about that in his later years. He's like, everybody forgot how much of a difference I made in music due to the fact that, you know, I took a lot of cocaine and beat the fuck out of my wife. And it's like, well, gee, did it ever occur to you not to do those things?
Well, it never occurs to anybody not to do those things. You know, you can't tell a cocaine addict, hey, by the way, maybe you shouldn't do coke. You know, it's very difficult. The wife beating, why, that was just the icing on the coke. Oh, that's fantastic. So, yeah, but Ike Turner, that was kind of sad. And like we also had Evel Knievel die recently, and Kevin Dubrow, which apparently was a drug overdose.
It was so funny. Everybody kept saying, well, we're pretty sure it's not a drug overdose. He quit all that. It was a cocaine overdose. Gee, these words, tasty.
Now, of course, I was waiting for people the day that, you know, when word came out that Kevin Dubrow of Quiet Riot had died, because anytime somebody walked up to me during, like, for the first couple of days afterwards, said, "Hey, Andy, did you hear Kevin Dubrow died?" And I said, "Oh, I had no idea. He was in poor mental health." That's the kind of asshole I am. I missed the Ike Turner beats Tina Turner to death line, but I certainly got the "I had no idea he was in poor mental health."
Now see, the weather here, of course, is frightful. Today was one of those days where the state pretty much shut down around lunchtime.
Is it snowing there?
It is snowing like a right bastard in northern Connecticut. I live in the New Haven area, where we've got what's lovingly known as the winter mix. Sounds like a snack to those of you in warm climates. Not so much. It's very sleety here, and the roads are atrocious. I left work at 1:30, and I got home around 2:45. And I live, like, maybe 15 minutes from my office.
So, really, we could have recorded this any old time. I didn't have to... Well, actually, we couldn't. I was out all day.
You were the one I was waiting on.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? The 18th, which is just a few days from now, I head out to the Grand Canyon, to the Hualapai Ranch in the Grand Canyon West region, to spend a week juggling for tourists and, I don't know, tourists and timeshare people. I really don't know. People who are going to see the Skywalk. And I will not be around, and so that means for at least a week, I will not get to see my wife. I won't get to see anyone except tourists at the Grand Canyon. Then I come home for 2 days, which are, those 2 days are Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And those 2 days, I have to work at the Houdini's Magic Shop, because in Vegas, especially if you work at a casino, there are no such things as holidays. If holidays fall on your scheduled days off, you get those days off. But otherwise, you are F-U-K-T.
Yes, it's like working in the hotel industry, which is part of the reason I don't do that anymore.
Yes, and then immediately after, on December 26th, I head right back to the Hualapai Ranch to do another, five or six day run, which, or maybe just a little less than that, from the 26th through the 30th, so 5 days essentially.
You know, and on the one hand, I am like so glad that you've got all these really great gigs, and on the other hand, I'm like, dude, I had all of this vacation time stored up for the end of the year so we could record our heads off.
I know.
I am going to be sitting home, and you are going to be out there juggling for people on the Skywalk.
I won't be juggling on the Skywalk, because it's very unforgiving if you drop something. But
it's like, oh God, I've had that ball my whole career.
Jesus fuck, I'll never get it back. Oh Christ!
Hey, look, could you go get that for me?
I just imagine, I'd end up killing a burrow or something, you know, something just lands and crushes people. We'll work on it. But anyway, you had all this time. We could have recorded like 15 shows, and I, of course, am booked, which is great. Of course, I'll have some money, and if this works out, I'll have another round of bookings. Like, apparently they're planning on having me out at this place 1 week a month until somebody wises up, which probably will be, you know, next month. But it could be, you know, all year. I could have an extra, you know, at least 1 week's worth of work a year that I can count on. So that's all good. I'm happy about that. Yeah, the problem is, because of all this, that's why I was out with my wife today, because she had the day off and I had the day off, and so we ran around and did silly things. In fact, we did the silliest of things. We walked around Vegas as if we were tourists, because that's what we like to do that sometimes. We did.
Oh, I would do that.
Well, you know, the thing is, people always tell us that the fascination with Las Vegas will wear off the longer we live here, and we truly believe that maybe it will for them, but not for us, because we haven't been here as long as some people have out here, but we still like going out and watching the fountain shows at the Bellagio and seeing the silly, cheap, free things, or just sitting and having a beer someplace. Well, it's fun to just walk into the 7-Eleven, get the 2 for $4 40-ounce or 26-ounce can of beer special and then walking out on the strip drinking beer. You know, we like the open container thing. We like acting, you know, that stuff like that is just silly and fun for us. And since we hadn't gotten to do any of that in a while, we were like, you know, why not spend today doing this? And when I'm done recording with you, I get to have dinner, and then we get to decorate our tree, our big fake holiday tree, because, you know, they sell, I'm still amazed, they sell real Christmas trees in Las Vegas. I can't imagine who would have a real Christmas tree in the land of absolutely no moisture, because, I mean, and I'm waiting for it. I keep checking the news periodically to see, you know, who was the first idiot who ended up, you know, with a house that burst into flames because they went ahead and had themselves a real tree. You know how much water it would take just to keep that real tree, you know, fresh to make it to the holidays? It's ridiculous. So we got ourselves a fake tree, and we get to decorate it today.
Now, see, we always had to have a fake tree because in Connecticut, where there is moisture, oddly enough, you're not allowed if you, or I shouldn't say in Connecticut, in West Haven, the condo laws are such that you're not allowed to have a live tree.
I see. Interesting. Well, we were, at my last apartment, we were allowed to have live trees, which I found rather interesting. Normally, you can't for those very reasons, but we were allowed to have live trees. Well, you know, they were dead by the time we got them, but they were still, you know, real trees. And, you know, I miss it. I won't lie. And this year, we ended up going with a cheaper tree simply because we just don't have them. You know, we're just now starting to get out from under this whole financial quagmire we fell into when the apartment got destroyed and we decided to move and all that. So ideally what we want is we have found this beautiful candy apple red tree pre-lit with hot pink lights that we think we would like, because that seems like a perfect Vegas tree, but we just don't have the $300. So we bought a cheap tree for this year, and we're hoping that this time next year we'll have the really cool candy apple red tree. But who knows for sure? Who knows? All I know is April lit the ever-living daylights out of this thing. She put every... I know this tree is not as tall as or as thick as some of the trees we've actually had in our lives, and she put every damn light we own on the thing. And it's just... I have a feeling when we're done, they're going to put this tree in the Museum of Nuclear Testing, because it's just...
They hide a multitude of sins.
That's exactly right.
I mean, one of the great things about having a fake tree is you put enough lights on that thing, yes, Martians will land on your roof, but the tree, if you kind of squint your eyes and look at it kind of blurry, looks very festive.
Well, it all looks festive. And actually, there's a lot of Vegas festive stuff going on out here. We went a couple weeks ago. We checked out the Ethel M's Chocolate Factory, where they it's a division of M&M Mars, and this is like the fine chocolates division of M&M Mars, located in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Well, they also have a cactus garden outside, a big, huge walk-through cactus garden. Virtually every type of cactus known to man is on display. And, well, for the holidays, they decorate the ever-living shit out of these cactus, and it's pretty cool. We're like, what better Vegas-y thing is there than walking in through a cactus garden and all the cactuses are decorated in lights like Christmas trees? That was pretty sweet. I'd like to do that myself, but I don't have a cactus.
Nope. I didn't decorate a tree at all this year, or a cactus. I did what I did last year. We decorated a penguin.
So now it's 2 years in a row, so I think it has to be at least 3 years for it to be an official tradition, but yes, indeed.
Well, it's not, to me, it's not an official tradition until you've flouted it at least once. So... maybe we'll decorate it next year, but the year after that, we'll say, we're not going to do it this year, and then it's a tradition.
Oh, I see, because then somebody misses it, like, oh, I missed the decorated penguin. Oh.
Well, see, you know, it's not a... because I have... I am a religion of one. I am a Gulf Widowist, and it's supposed to be a disorganized religion, not an organized religion.
Gotcha.
If I'm going to make rules at all, they have to be rules that I'm going to feel really good about breaking, because I have to deliberately break a few of them in order for it to continue to be a disorganized religion.
Well, you do what you got to do, girl. All I know is it's spreading because I ended up decorating kind of a... Not only do we have a tree, but I also decorated a section of our house that's dedicated entirely to penguin. Because I took this 4-foot-tall emperor penguin, this blow-up emperor penguin. Don't ask why we have an inflatable emperor penguin. I'm not proud. We'll get to the real porn audio later. And the multitude of penguins I have, we put this on like a cool end table, and I wrapped it in Snoopy lights. I put a Santa hat on it, and I also have some like red beads around its neck. And so it's a very festive holiday penguin, which sits just opposite of our beautiful holiday tree.
That's awesome. And I feel like I'm spreading golf widowism to the other coast.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. And if you ever came to visit, you could come and see it. But maybe I'll take a picture and post it.
You're going to have to, dude, because with fuel prices being what they are and airfare being what it is, I figure the nearest place to Vegas I'm going to actually get to go is if I, like, go over to Rite Aid and pick up a pack of playing cards.
See, it just depends on when you leave. I have not checked the prices. You know, thankfully, one of the nice benefits of living here now is that we don't have to check the prices to come to Vegas anymore. Now we have to, like, figure out where we might go on vacation someday if we ever get to leave here. But I keep hearing from people it is still one of the least expensive places to go as far as airfare and things like that. And you know you'd have a place to stay. You know, we could set you up. You wouldn't have to stay at one of the big hotels. You know, we'd charge you way less. So you could come on out. Oh, man alive. What other fun stuff is going on here? But, yeah, come on out. Otherwise, I will post some pictures and things like that. And before too long, I'm sure we'll post some pictures of us at the Cactus Garden. I took some great ones. Because, you know, it's funny. Our holidays this year, we're not going to get to be with family over the holidays, especially with me working at the Grand Canyon. But in general, nobody's coming out to Las Vegas, and we're not going out to Illinois or any of the other places where we live. Family lives, I should say. And so what we decided to do, at least with April's immediate family, because April's mom packed up and moved last year. April's sister packed up and moved just right after we did. So what we basically decided to do is we were going to take photos of us in our new environs and put them in some sort of, you know, themed frame that matches, kind of fits the photo of where we're at, and send each other, you know, photos of us in our new landscape. And that way we don't have to worry about, hey, what do you want for Christmas this year? We're all too broke because we all just fucking moved. Hey, let's just do this. And so one of the pictures we got of the Cactus Garden ended up being our holiday photo. So I'm kind of waiting on posting some of those just because I know my mother-in-law reads my blog, but I don't think she listens to the podcast. Let's face it, who does? No one.
Actually, my cousin listens. Hi, Judy. I was going to say hi to the kids earlier, but then Andy started swearing, so I said, you know what? I'll wait for another episode.
Oh, excellent. Wait, are the kids there? What are their names?
Anna.
Anna. And how old is Anna?
Anna is 11.
11, okay.
And Danny.
Danny, and how old is Danny?
Danny's 5.
5. Okay. This Anna, Danny, cocksucker motherfucker, holy shit.
You did not.
I totally did. I told. Hey, go ask your mommy if she swallows. Just say like the worst things ever. Anna, Danny, hi, how you doing? This is your Uncle Andy. He's on Podcrapular with Golf Widow. Fisting? Can you say that? Fisting.
Stop it. Behave.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Like, wait, didn't you just meet Judy like the other day? What are you worried about? Like, was she going to disown you after like years of not knowing
you?
No,
actually, she probably won't, but...
I just couldn't resist.
You're making the baby Jesus cry. Doesn't that bother you?
The baby Jesus loves fisting. Everyone knows that. Come on, it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's in the 21st century Testament of the Bible. Fisting? A-OK. Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, we haven't done any of our regular housekeeping crap. Yeah. You're listening to Podcrapular, golfwidow. Blah, 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 blah. 206, blah, 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 blah. No one's going to call. Golfwidow.gmail, blah, blah, blah. No one's going to email. Basically, I guess we're just not doing any of that because we found out that people only listen if it's Josh doing a Podcrapular Light or if it's just like a short Podcrapular or if we're not actually there. Then they complain that we're not actually there. To not listen to. I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
We got people complaining that they can't stream us on iTunes, and rather than complain to iTunes, they complain to us, which I understand. We need to make sure that, you know, people are getting our feed, but they come to the site where they could download us all the time for free anytime and say, I can't seem to listen to you. Well, what? You're at golfwidow.podomatic.com complaining. While you're there, why don't you throw down a hey, download this, and then listen to it on your own. Put it on your own darn iPod. iTunes sometimes isn't on the ball, okay? What can I say?
The thing is, though, that that I got mine on iTunes, and I was able to listen to it all the way through. So obviously, basically, somebody is complaining to the talent that the service isn't good, and it's like we just make the thing. We don't even produce it anymore. We have a producer, but that's inside the point. It worked on my iPod, worked on, as far as I know, worked on Judy's, and I'm sure we would have heard from Bud if it hadn't come out.
I guess it's okay to call up John Stewart and complain that the cable went out. I guess that's what it is.
That's
kind of what I'm looking at. Then we've got other folks who are like, I love all our listeners. I really do. But you know, come on now. Don't sit here and tell us how much you love the Podcrapular Lights. We only do the Podcrapular Lights to fill in the time in between the time that we can do the real show. And the real show, it's only an hour of your life, and you can listen to it at your leisure. It's not like this is a live show and you miss it forever. No, you can download it. You can listen to 1 minute a day for 60 days, because sometimes it takes 60 days for us to record a new show. And like, we, you know, we like the idea. We've been very happy with the Podcrapular Lights. I liked the one you had with the horoscopes, and I like the one Josh has up there right now where he talks about all the other things he's produced that are apparently better than our show. And all that stuff. You know, I've got one coming up where I basically just kind of put up all a bunch of weird comedy shit that I've done. And you know, so really, the full show, you're supposed to like the full show, and like the Podcrapular Light is supposed to make you happy while you're waiting for the full show. But if we get more people who are like, oh, we love it when you don't talk at all.
We want a whole plate of appetizers, and we don't want any dinner.
Yeah, no good. And besides, in the Podcrapular Lights, you don't get real
dessert.
Porn audio. Uh-huh.
No dessert.
No, yeah, that's right. That is the icing on the face. That's we're doing icing jokes today.
Well, you know, look at the weather. Of course we're doing ice jokes.
That's right. Oh, although I can't really... It did get down to like 34 degrees last night, overnight, but then like almost immediately got back up to like 50. We've been, it's funny, you talk to the locals here and you would swear that the polar ice caps have melted and like freezing water I don't know what the hell they think is going on. Maybe it's not the polar ice caps melting. Maybe the polar ice caps are just creeping into the valley. All I know is they think it's fucking cold here. And, you know, it's 50 degrees. It's not warm, but it's not, you know, parka weather. But they're sure acting like it is. Man alive. And I have not... Maybe it's just I haven't gotten 100% acclimated to living out here yet. But I can live with my house at 62 degrees in internal temperature if I wanted to. And I can walk around the streets of Las Vegas wearing, you know, a light jacket. But man, you should see people just huddling and shivering. The tourists, however, they're the ones that really piss me off when they come here complaining that it's cold. Because it's like... You know, it does still say December on the calendar. You can look up the average temperature of Las Vegas in December. You shouldn't be surprised that you can't wear your board shorts and your muscle t-shirts, you know, on the strip anywhere in the United States in December. I mean, other than maybe Florida. You know, you should kind of expect it. It still might be a little chilly, a little nippy in the air. I don't know.
I don't either.
So, anyway... So that's what's going on. They can listen to us, they can stream us, they can email us, they can call us on our damn phone line that nobody calls. They can comment, I don't even know. I still like doing this. I just wish we had more of that thrilling closure we get from people telling us how great we are. You know, other than Bud Buckley, because we love Bud, and Bud loves us, and it's a mutual Bud-loving festival. That sounded dirty.
Oh, it did, didn't it? You said Bud Luffin.
Bud Luffin. Oh, and oh, you know what? It's funny. We started the show. We had that big kind of cool Louie Louie montage leading into Ike and Tina Turner doing Louie Louie. We haven't even talked about why we even started the show with that. So you know, this all started because of something you sent me not too long ago. And if it were not for the fact that I'm worried I won't be able to hear you ever again, I would open up the link and everything. But I'm afraid to touch my computer. You sent me a link to Dave Barry's blog talking about, I guess is he really running for president? Probably not.
No, he runs for president every election. I vote for him every election, and somebody else always wins. But then again, you know, last election and the election before that, I voted for somebody else, and somebody else won.
Yeah, that happens. The only difference is those elections were rigged, man. This one, who knows? But yeah, so Dave Barry, you know, quote-unquote, running for president, and I guess... I guess he was trying to choose a campaign song, and you know, the only logical choice clearly was the song Louie Louie, which, you know, let's face it, you know, if you need a campaign rally, a rally cry, I mean, a song about a drunk sailor missing his girlfriend, that's really as good as it gets. However, I will say this, it doesn't really matter what the song is about. Will it get people dancing at your rallies? And Louie Louie has never failed to get anyone to dance, unless if it's a really shitty version, and there are far too many shitty versions out there.
Now, see, Dave Barry actually participated in one of my favorite versions, which is the Rock Bottom's Remainders version.
Well, yes, the Rock Bottom Remainders, you're the real writer and actually the real reader in the group. You should tell people who the Rock Bottom Remainders are. They just know I'm a poser.
The Rock Bottom Remainders is a band that was comprised of a bunch of writers who got together for the Literacy Volunteers of America to raise money, and the whole idea was for them to do a rock concert where, you know, those of them who could sing or play instruments would sing and play instruments, and those of them who couldn't were critics. And they formed the Critics Chorus and stood around and sang badly out of tune backup. But one of the things that they did was they did a version live of Louie Louie, which was a dramatic reading of the FBI version of the lyrics, which was the FBI insisting that they had broken down the recording and gotten the correct lyrics to it because they were so unintelligible, and what they had gotten was really very far off from what the actual lyrics were.
Well, sure, the actual lyrics of the song really are about a guy who misses his girlfriend. That's really all it is, but... that being said, they also perform it because none of them are genuinely great musicians.
I think Ridley Pearson is a really very technically proficient bass player, and Dave Barry is not a bad guitarist. That having been said, if you have ever heard Stephen King sing, you understand why he writes for a living.
Well, absolutely. But any version, well, I won't say any version, because as you well know, if the people listening are not aware of this, I have probably around 500 or more versions, different versions of the song Louie Louie in my personal collection, which I basically keep in case I ever go on a kill crazy rampage. People will know that I'm insane. That's why I have this. It's just like a nice little safety net to make sure people know I'm not mentally well. I think anybody who actually who reveres the three chord bullshit type songs and plays them with any amount of heart or lack of heart really deserves to be in the Louie Louie world, because you will appreciate Louie Louie for what it is. It's just a simple three chord party song. There's nothing spectacular about it. There have been some of the absolute worst versions in the history of the world, done by people who thought they were doing great, great things.
But you know, I love some of the variations that, to this
song. I can listen to hundreds of versions of that song over and over again and not get tired of it, because if there are different versions of the song and done well, like in our little montage, there was a version, two of the versions, let's see, one by a group called Luxury Liner and the other by a group called the Navajo Dads, or the Navajo Dads, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I think those are two of the absolute best songs I've ever heard, much less like versions of Louie Louie. Luxury Liner made Louie Louie sound like a genuinely interesting tune. I'm like, how did you do that? How could you pull that out of your ass? And the Navajo Dads made it kind of sound like a kind of a cool, if there were ever any sort of some sort of merge between, you know, Creole culture and Las Vegas, that's what the Navajo Dads did, you know? That would be in my Las Vegas Louie Louie review, would be their version. And Iggy Pop, every time Iggy, you know, the very first time Iggy Pop ever committed his voice to tape for the purpose of performing for a CD, not a CD, I'm sorry, you know, put it to tape to make a record or an album or just to see if he could even sing in front of a band. The first song he sang was Louie Louie, and to this day he still plays it live in concert. He records it. You know, there are lots of great versions of Louie Louie done by Iggy Pop, and I haven't heard a bad one yet. I've heard ones that are not as good as some of the other ones he's done, but Jesus Christ, Louie Louie done by Iggy Pop, that's the way God intended, I think.
I'm but not sure that God really intended Louie Louie, but since he let it happen,
well,
one of the things that fascinates me is not all the different versions of Louie Louie itself, but all the people who said, you know, I don't like Louie Louie, but I love the three-chord progression so much, I'm going to steal it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's you know, the 1-4-5 is what it is. I mean, heck, even Richard Berry essentially kind of took that from two different songs. He kind of took it from like Havana Moon, which was a Chuck Berry tune. Got kind of the lyrics from that, or a lyrical idea from that. And then there was another song that, oh my God, if my Louie friends were listening, they would bug me about it, but I believe it was Rene Touze did El Loco Cha-Cha, which is a great little cha-cha number, all right? But the 1-4-5 has been around in rock and roll and virtually every other form of music forever, and there are so many songs, people listen to them, and they're like, man alive, that song's great, but that Louie Louie sucks. I'm like, oh, you like Hang On Sloopy, do you? It's the same fucking song.
Yeah, you like More Than a Feeling by Boston? Oh, no, you're an indie guy from Seattle. Hey, do you like Nirvana? Do you like Smells Like Teen Spirit?
Mm-hmm. And at least Smells Like Teen Spirit has the fine distinction of also having unintelligible lyrics. So that's good, too. Yeah, there's tons of songs. Well, heck, Pour Some Sugar on Me. That's a fantastic 1-4-5 song. In fact, Joe Elliott of Def Leppard, my wife gave me this recently. She found a fantastic quote from him, which I will paraphrase because I had it written down, and for the life of me, I can't find it on my desk now, probably because, well, it's my desk, and I can't find anything on my desk.
Oh my God, you're on my desk.
That's right, here we go. And I quote, and I won't do it in a bad Sheffield accent, just to, just, you know, I'll just read it. Some of the best songs are three chords. In fact, all the best songs are three chords. A fourth chord is a waste. We all know that. But, so the argument was, he wanted Louie Louie, and the argument turned out that, turned up between him and, like, his trusted advisor of 20-plus years, of which version to use, like the Paul Revere and the Raiders version over the Kingsman version of, you know, if he was going to make this a campaign song. And for me, well, I would say the Kingsman version simply because that's the one that everyone knows, and when you're trying to win an election, you always want to lead with the stuff that people know. You know, that's why everything gets reduced to sound bites anyway. You know, if you pull out the modern mandolin string quartets recording of Louie Louie, you're probably going to lose your audience. But if you pull out the Kingsman, everyone goes, oh, cool. Yeah, I like that song. It's a Kingsman. But also, I have many different Paul Revere and the Raiders versions of Louie Louie, and there's no comparison as far as I'm concerned, because it's just the things that made that song magical when the Kingsman did it are the reason why the song is still being played today. But I have many, many other versions of that song that I would rather see as a campaign song or just you know, hear. That, you know, I very rarely turn on the Louie Louie version when I'm sitting around listening to the damn song. Rarely. If it comes on my radio, I will leave it on, but damn, I don't seek it out anymore. I have evolved, man. I can really go all crazy if I want to. As was probably displayed in our little opening today. There were many different versions in there. But, tell you what, why don't we play one version, or two versions, or a few, and we'll play ones that are live so we don't get into any sort of trouble with royalties. like from listener whom we just mentioned, our good friend Mr. Bud Buckley. Now, he recorded two versions and gave them to me for my birthday a couple of years back. And one of them was also inspired by something by you.
By me?
You. And what did you do? Tell me what you did.
I know which one that is. That was the time that I had translated. It was a thing that was going around the internet where you plug your song lyrics into Google Translate, translate them into French, translate them back into German, and then translate them from German back into English, and then post them on your journal, blog, diary, whatever, to see if people could guess them. And I did Louie Louie just to see what would happen, and I was like, well, everybody's going to know what it is just from the Louie Louie part, but it's worth posting it because it comes out so funny.
And yes, and then Bud did something a little goofy, even though technically this is a kind of a live version. He kind of did a little treatment, some post-studio type treatment to, well, he changed his voice and made it sound like some evil, angry, I don't know, German robot. I really don't know what he did. He played with the harmonizer, so his voice came out very low. But if you'd like to play that right now, not only would that give me an opportunity to void my bladder of copious amounts of urine, it would help our audience hear some of the fun that one of our listeners, Mr. Bud Buckley, has provided for us. So if you want to play that and listen, enjoy.
I said, Louie Louie, the baby hop says me that us to go have. I said, Louie Louie, the baby hop says me that us to go have. Wait, a small girl, find me. I for find a ship on the sea. Me segula which completely only dispatches us memory never like I formed it head. I said Louie Louie, outward journey duty us, not me in Louie. Says, hold me, we night and segel today's me see. I think constantly of the girl on this dream of the ship I am there. Yet I direction increased in his hair. That I said, will I? We must go. Jamaica, I see soon, my love me, I take it in my arms, I will declare it that I become outward journey, never yet. Louis, Louis, not that I that said we must go, yes. Go now. You let push us outside here. Let's suit us.
Well, yes, and we will have to post a link up there so people can read what the lyrics turned into. Because I think your blog post still exists. I know I probably have it saved somewhere. But yeah, being translated from English to French, French to German, German back into English. Just remarkably bad. And Bud also recorded a very cool version of the song himself, which actually makes me want to have a nice beer and watch a sunset and shit like that. So that's all good stuff. And if anyone's interested, you know, there's also, we could play a version of me doing this crappy song. I did it with a really good band behind me. There's a whole lot of a guy by the name of John Spiegel. I've sung this song at his parties for years, we have songs aplenty. We could play Louie Louie all day. If I were a good guy, I would play Louie Louie nonstop all day long.
Now, see, I have no problem with that. And I mean, for that matter, we could do a What a Wonderful World version of this same episode, because I've got just about every version of that ever recorded.
We'll see. Very good. You know, it's funny. I used to go to these collectible records type shows that had everything from like hard to find, you know, vinyl and reel to reels, as well as like bad bootlegs. And I used to walk up to the booths and say, look, this is exactly what I'm looking for, especially if they had bootlegs. I'm like, do you know you recorded all these yourself? Do you know if somebody recorded Louie Louie? And I would always get weird looks, but occasionally I'd come up with a few cool ones. And this one time I walked up to a booth and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be really messed up. This guy's just going to, like, give me hell just for asking. I said, you know what, I've got kind of an odd collection. I'm trying to find different versions of Louie Louie, live or recorded. What do you have in your collection here? I know it's silly. He goes, hey, man, it ain't silly. I got about 50 different versions of Knocking on Heaven's Door. So I was like, wow, do you have the other half of this amulet? You know, it's funny how many people give me shit for having this stupid hobby, and then I find out that, you know, so many other people really do have collections of other songs like that. So I'm like, you know, Louie Louie makes as much or as little sense as anything. Oh, by the way, people want to learn about Louie Louie. I know we've posted all this shit on our blog before and on our show, but go to louielouie.net. That's probably the best way. I have a whole bunch of lists on my main website.
Actually, we don't even have to post the list to my blog then, because louielouie.net, I believe, has a list to my blog link.
Very
there.
Cool. Yeah, so that's good. And well, you know, we should actually probably play the real version of Bud Buckley's song too. Maybe we'll do that on our next show, as well as playing some of his new stuff. He has a new CD coming out, is that correct?
That is correct. BudBuckley.com.
budbuckley.com. So we should probably play some of his stuff. But that's what we'll do. And our next show, we'll not only play the Louie, the good version of, well, I thought the last one was good, but the more intelligible version that Bud Buckley did of Louie, but we'll play some of his songs. We have permission to play some of his songs all the time, so we'll do that.
We will.
By the way, do you have an opinion, Paul Revere and the Raiders versus the Kingsmen? Do you think, really,
as far as Dave Barry is concerned, it's got to be the Kingsmen. As far as I'm concerned, it would be Iggy Pop.
Yeah, oh God, and there are so many good versions of that of that song. Now, here's the funny thing, though. I'm also looking at it from the point of view of a campaign song. And honestly, it should probably be any one of the numerous marching band versions that are out there, because then you can come in like we're a parade. You know, they could finish playing.
Is there
Louie
a Dixieland version?
Sure there is. In fact, I don't have an MP3 of it. I even recorded a version with the Kings of Dixie, Dixieland Band in Illinois. But I've got Johnny Winter doing a Cajun French version. I've got foreign language versions. I've got country versions, hip hop versions.
Because Dixieland is a very traditional thing at campaigns, I've noticed. I think a Dixieland version of Louie would be kind of rockful.
I think that would totally rock. I'm with you on that, most definitely. There's some good stuff. Well, and you know what? Maybe what we'll also do is down the road, we'll also play the version of me singing this song. Not that I expect Dave Barry to use it as his, rally song or anything like that. I mean,
but
song
you could
has
juggle things, too. I mean, I know that, he needs to know that you're multi-talented. You can sing Louie for him, and you can juggle stuff. You probably belong in his cabinet somewhere.
Well, you know what? My like and dislike of Dave Barry has kind of had peaks and valleys over the years. But anytime he pulls out the Louie card, he's always back on my good side. You know, there's no way around that, because anybody who understands and kind of the same way you have to respect Ike Turner for what he did. Anybody who respects Louie, if you respect the Louie, you get the respect from the Andy. That's the way I look at it. You know, it was funny. So many people have commented on his blog about this. We'll have to post the link to the Dave Barry blog comment as well. And it has such a storied history as far as the song goes. Louie.net. Just go there. You'll get everything you need to know. Since he's not really running for president and he doesn't really care if he wins or not, I don't think it really matters which version he picks, so long as he doesn't pick, let's say, the Barry White version. Or the Guru Josh version. That's an actual guy who did a really bad, weird 80s fusion jazz kind of version.
Okay, and just for the record, let me please say I love Ike and Tina Turner doing lots of cover versions of lots of songs. I think that their version of Proud Mary is actually better than Creedence's, but I don't like their version of Louie. Okay, I said it.
I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm glad it happened. I've made
it had to happen.
Yeah, that's right. But I've made great CDs for friends of mine of like famous people doing Louie, just because they don't believe that many people have done it. But I've done it for them, and they're like, "Oh, well, that was interesting."
Well, you know, you were talking about hobbies before. I once, I've got a friend who made me a mix CD of nothing but like cover versions and original versions back to back, and then I made myself a mix CD of what I call the All Along the Watchtower Hour, which is everybody's version of that.
Sure.
I have about to right off the top of my head I can think of I have 7 different recordings, audio only, of the entire rock opera Tommy, and
oh,
I have
Lord.
Video and DVD versions of that as well, plus concert versions.
Okay, so my hobby isn't anywhere near as silly as yours.
I'm not as anal as collecting them either. They just keep winding up with me because everybody knows how much I love The Who.
Well, there you go. Nothing wrong with that. I do not have a Who recording, by the way. I don't have
one. I'm sure there is one.
There probably is. But feel free. I do have a Led Zeppelin version somewhere. So, you know, hey,
now there's a
suck on that.
There's a concert that needs to happen. They just, or not a concert, but a tour that needs to happen. The concert just did happen. And all those people who said Robert Plant is too old to be fierce anymore are swallowing their words, and I hope they're choking on them.
Excellent. Well, so anyway, future shows, we will play Bud Buckley's more clearly lyriced version of Louie Louie. We'll play me singing Louie Louie, and we'll finish the show tonight with one of my all-time favorite versions of Louie Louie by a group called Pow Wow. I don't know where they recorded this damn thing. It was some live concert, and man alive, I can listen to this all goddamn day. It's just that good. So we'll probably finish the show tonight with that. But you know what? Before we are almost out of time, we have not done any real porn audio. We actually talked about it earlier. We forgot to do it, so damn it, we need to do some real porn audio, because our fans, both of them, when they're listening to this 1 minute at a time, they're going to need it. It's at the point now they really need that porn, don't you think?
I would say so.
How many did I send you this week?
You sent me 2 this week.
Go with the first one, the one I sent, not that type of, they're kind of themed. They're kind of themed, I think. So not that type of girl.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting, but I guess I'm not that type of girl. I'd rather be caned or flogged or spanked.
There you have it.
Yeah.
I just think that's kind of sweet. Somebody who's, I'm just not that kind of girl. I just like, you know, being beaten. We're getting back to the Ike Turner thing.
Yes, it's like you hit me. I'm not the type of girl who would, you know, it's like I'm a good girl. I don't go in for that kissing stuff on the first date thing. I'll pull down my panties and let you smack me around with your, like, musical instruments and shit.
That's right. I'm not that kind of girl. I think that's all very special. It was nice. It was like, and in the scene where I was watching it, I was like, you could tell she was finishing up something. So, and then, like, a nice little post-brutal interview. Not a really post-coital interview. More of a post-brutal interview. I guess I'm just not that kind of girl. I'm really into the... You know, that's sweet. And it leads lovely into the not that kind of girl. Leads nicely into this one. What did I title this one? Such a Prude or something like that? Don't be a prude or...
Such a Prude. I've got it right here.
Let her rip, girl.
Ooh, look, Diane. He's got a hard on.
Oh, my God.
You're going to have to peg it back into his pants.
No, I don't want to touch it.
Well, he's your nephew. Well, zip it up or something. Do something. Oh, I'll do it if you're going to be such a prude.
He's your nephew. And how old is he? Nephew. He's 21.
That's right. Who cares? Oh, that scene. I'm probably going to clip lots of things from that scene. It's just that good. It's just fantastic. Well, he's your nephew. It's a classic, like, late 70s, early 80s porno, too. Just fantastic stuff. The best. Only the best for my golf widow.
Ah.
Well, on that happy note, we should get the hell out of Dodge. Continue. Go to golfwidow.net and read her blog. Go to andymartello.blogspot.com and read my blog. Hire me at andymartello.com. Josh, listener 42 dot live journal?
Livejournal.com.
Yes, livejournal.com. I know we're free. Oh, golfwidow.podomatic.com, myspace.com.
Would you like to appear on our show in a recording? All you have to do is call our telephone number, leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the air.
We sure will. And that's a 206 something 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 something.
Dude, you're supposed to have that stuff all up.
I can't touch my computer, otherwise I won't be able to hear anything. My computer's being finicky today. I'm sorry.
My gosh. I suck. I didn't have it up either. 206-333-1338. It'll tell you to leave a message at the beep. You've heard that before. Go ahead and leave us a message at the beep.
And email us at podcrapular@gmail.com.
That's right.
So I'm sure we'll leave it up to Josh if he wants to go ahead and blow out the show with our traditional Joe Walsh, but what you're about to hear is the group Pow Wow singing one of my 10 all-time favorite versions of Louie Louie. So that's it. That's all you get from us this week. I hope you enjoyed, and if not, it's not like you were listening in the first place. So we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can listen to Pow Wow if you want right now to hear how good it is, Golf Widow. That way you don't have to wait to listen to it when Josh edits it together.
Awesome.
So that's it. We're out of here. Goodbye.
Bye.
Across the sea, I sail that ship all alone. Never think I'll make it home. Louie, Louie, whoa, we gotta go. Yeah, 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 yeah. Louie, Louie, whoa, we gotta go. 3 nights and days, I sail that sea. Think of her constantly on that ship. I dream she's there. Smile that rose up in her hair. Louie, Louie, oh, me gotta go. Yeah, 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 yeah. Louie, Louie, oh, oh, me gotta go. I gotta go. Yeah.